we were
done.
A little bit behind, so
we'll do what we can. Also, I feel bad like it's pre-Rosh Hashanah. We'll see if in the end we have a couple of minutes. It doesn't look so good. But, you know, remind me towards the end, I'll say at least something.
I should.
What?
I should.
Just remind me.
At what time?
Whenever you think it's appropriate. Okay. Before we do that, just on terms of the scheduling, Shu and I were just talking. So we have the Wednesday, which is Som Gedalia, right? So we'll make sure 12, because I think they'd have a mincha at 1:30, so that gives people plenty of time to be here. And so we have Wednesday, Thursday, and then we have Sunday. And Monday they have this program on, I guess, all day pre-Yom Kippur, but we can still have a regular shiur if we want, I think. Right, and then you know, because they're all day, so
they may have shiurim in here, but otherwise,
yeah, we'll figure out.
Okay, maybe we may have to go back to that other room, or maybe we can reclaim 311 again. You know, this is the time to do it. Okay, so we'll figure it out. We'll try to get through as much as we can. Again, I think these introductory topics are very, very important for perspective, and they'll save us time and definitely. Impressions later, so just bear with me a little bit, and then I'm just going to give you some armakomos, especially the days that we come back, maybe do something a little bit connected also with Shabbos and, by extension, Yom Kippur. So just also to try to get in the first toldos topic, also some toldos of Shabbos, the relationship between Shabbos and the Zikin. So, of course, it's a bit of a Agav Urcha topic for Shabbos, but some of the Rishonim Alatar some of the things in the Shulchan Aruch in particular happen to be very significant for the topic. So either way, it's a good thing to do, and especially since we're, you know, kind of in the throes of the Yom Noroim and Yom Tovim. So I'm just going to give some makoros for that. But we still have things to finish up in what we began with as well. But just to add to, on the topic of Ovos and Toldos and the Shabbos and the Nezikin, on the Nezikin part, we'll be obviously talking about this much more as we go further into the Shaka Vataria. But just on Toldosem, Kiyotzevem, Lav Kiyotzevem, which we already were Merames to more than once, Rashi, and so on. So just look at Rashi, the Shaka Vataria of the Gemara on Basim et Al to Basim et Base. Rashi based on Basim Rasul Hacha Mai, which we talked about already, and compare that to the Rif and the Rambam's presentation of the issue of Toldosem Kiyotzebahen, and as I mentioned before, the Chidushe HaGriz as well in Hilchos Nizkei Mammon, who brings some of this out, and the Rush as well. Rush speaks about hybrids. We'll speak much more about the idea of you know, what it means to be a category of Ovos and Zikin, you know, and how that affects the toldos. Meaning, is it a straitjacket? Basically, it's a category. You know, everything has to fall within one of the categories. And once it does, then it fully integrates into the categories, or the categories are more fluid and it's possible to have hybrids. Maybe there are some things that are hybrids and some things that are not. Right? In other words, not every characteristic, as you can already see, is the same. We talked about, just very briefly, we mentioned like Rishus HaRabin for Shein V'Regel, not necessarily treated the same as Tamun, you know, Be'esh or Kalim B'bar, and things of that sort. So, you know, we have to keep an open mind about that, but that's an important question which we'll begin to discuss. Then, since the Gemara is framing it as Toldosem Kiyotzev Lav Kiyotzevahen, so the Gemara also speaks about Shabbos and Tumah. So, you know, again, we're also learning the, you know, the topics and the Rishonim on the Gemara, but, you know, with obviously the primary emphasis being on Bava Kamma. But we don't pass that up, right? So on the Shabbos part, we'll also speak briefly about the Tumah part. Cherev Harei Chalol, Joey's already, you know, gearing up. It's like going to be a Torah Mada. You know, kind of presentation for him, right? Okay. Now, Maven Yavin.
I'm the Torah Madagascar, not
Joseph. What'd you say? I didn't hear.
I'm the Torah Madagascar.
You are, but in this particular, your qualifications for this particular side of the Mada are probably as, you know, I'll say it in a nice way, as minimal as mine are. Okay, but Joey is like, you know, poised, qualified, ready on the scientific side of it to help us out. Okay.
Is this about superconductors?
Yeah, it actually is. Did you hear, overhear me, or are you just guessing?
This is from, we mentioned it last year.
Oh, okay. See, I've been looking forward. So, yeah. So that's, we'll do the Tumah part, the Cherev Harei Kachalal, in particular with Tosa's question. We'll do that as well. But in terms of the Shabbos part, don't get scared, we'll do it quickly. But Rashi Dibra Maska Lo Mechayev. This is a really interesting question about the relationship between Shabbos and Zavos and Toldos. The Marikatz in the Shita Mekubetzes. Right, it tells the Shantz and Rabbeinu Yechiel in the Shita Mekubetzes. And Tosas here, of course, the two Tosas in on the spot, Ula Rebbe and Hochi Gar Sinan. And the parallels in, look at the Gemara in Shabbos, Tzadi Vavmud Beis, Tosas on the Ramban there. Shabbos Ayin Gimel Amud Beis, Hazoreya, Hazomer, Hanoteya, etc. Rashi, Rabbeinu Chananel, and the Rambam. The Rambam is in Hilchos Shabbos, Perek Zayin, Beis, Gimel, Hey, and Hilchos Shkogos, Perek Zayin, Halacha Hey, through Tests. This is about the relationship of Ovos and Toldos. A little more background, or maybe we'll go to these first. Shabbos, Ayin, Gimel, Amud Beis, to Ayin, Dalet, Amud Aleph, Hazora, Haborer, Hatochein, until Kidabaya. And look at Rashi and Tosas and the Ritva there. Shabbos Ayin Hayim Ud Beis, Tosas Dir Maschel Harei and Chaser. And in terms of, again, a little more background, Shabbos Mem Tesam Ud Beis, Hodor Yosvi Bekomi Boy. Like, how do you know that 39 of us Malacha? And Tosas there. If you get a chance, the Ramban there. If you get a chance, the Ureim and Mitzvah Ayin Tes. But again, I'm going to do these quickly, so... maybe over Yom Tov is a good thing. It's a, you know, Shabbos Yom Tov topic, so we'll try to do it, you know, as quickly as we can. But it's an opportunity. And then the Rambam Hilchos Shabbos Perek Ches Halacha Zayin, and the Nosai Kalim there. The Gemara increases Tez Zayin Omid Aleph and Tez Vav Omid Aleph. Shitas Rabbi Eliezer. What is Rabbi Eliezer's view that Jachayev told him the Mokom Av? Comes up in the Gemara. What does that mean? Why are you chayav for Toldos? Is he arguing about the relationship between Avos and Toldos? If so, what are the implications of that? Or is he really arguing about Chiluk Chatos? What's that about? Tez Vav Amud Aleph also increases. And finally, the Ran in Shabbos, Kufin Aleph Amud Beis, what he says about Malach Shen Tzvicha Legufa and Toldos. Okay, so that'll just be a quick topic. Of Avos and Toldos in Shabbos, Avos and Toldos in Ezekin, and I'll give you some things to look at in Avos and Toldos. Mostly Avos and Toldos in Tumar are pretty, as I say, clear that we're dealing with, you know, a fall off at a different level. The issue in Tumah is the question of Cherev Kecholol. You know, what does that mean? Cherev Reim Kecholol. Okay, so that'll be something. But again, we first have to finish up some issues. So what we've been discussing is the relationship between Iser and Mamon in the different categories of Nezek. That's really what we're in the middle of discussing. The last issues that we went into detail were the questions of Isurim and what the Makar is. By the way, just a quick comment. The Ritva Miksav Yad I mentioned in Gittin is a Perush that is close to the world view of the Rama. So I just want to note that the fact that he quotes the Ahavta L'Recha Kamocha works out nicely with that, because that's the Rama's perspective also in Baal Basra, the real Rama, the actual Rama. And I don't think of that as such a coincidence, and we'll speak more about it. But anyways, that was a very important addition. So we talked about Ein Shnei Chadvar Beira, Ein On Shem Ladin, and Kam Leib Drab Aminei. Just a few quick comments just to finish that part of it off. Regarding Ein Shnei Chadvar Beira, there are just a few things to say. One is, that it's interesting to note that the question in Ein Shliach Udvar Abeira, unlike the question in Kam LeBidraba Minei and Ein Omshin Min Adin, is not a question of Chiyav and Ptur, per se. In other words, when we talk about Ein Omshin Min Adin and we talk about Kam LeBidraba Minei, we're talking about situations where there is a Ptur, right? Mishum Risha Achas HaTamachayvo, IHaTamachayvo Mishum Shnei Rishias. At least from a Kiyum Bezin point of view. And Ein Omshin Min Adin means you can't conclude that there's going to be a chiyuv tashlumin under these conditions because ein onshin min adin. But we talk about ein shliach ledvar aveira, right? There's no risk, if you will. There's no stakes in terms of the per se, let's say, in terms of the maisa being one which is mechayiv tashlumin. The only question is who is going to pay, the shliach or the mishaleach. Which is another reason why it's easier to explain, as I was suggesting, based on Reb Chaim, Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira, you know, being a melitza, you know, and that may be being a great example, or maybe even, you know, epitomizing the whole thing, but it really being about, you know, what is shlichus and jurisdiction, you know, and so on and so forth. Because in the end of the day, you don't say Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira typically, and therefore there's no tashlumin. You're saying Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira, and therefore the shliach rather than the mishaleach is chayav. Of course, there can be nafkamina. That's a different story. In other words, if the shliach is not a bar chiyuva, or the shliach, and you assume that even with a lack of bar chiyuva, you still say Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira, right? And or if the shliach doesn't have any money, right? And things of that sort, that there can be the nafkamina of tashlumin. But no one is saying Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira, and therefore there is no chi of tashlumin based on the maisa. So that's a bit of a different, it's more the melitza part, or whether it is a melitza, it's more the phraseology, you know, than anything else that becomes an issue there. That's something to be aware of. The second thing is that Matanya was asking me, how does Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin, which the Gemara sometimes attaches to Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira, how does that fit in? So that actually is an important question, and there really are two perspectives already in the Rishonim on you know, what that phrase means. The Ad Ramah, as it happens in Sanhedrin, in the Nachash HaKadmoni Sugya, was a Chavtes, basically seems to treat Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Mishomin as a taina, to such an extent that he wonders, or he discusses, you know, what happens if the guy doesn't, what if the Mishaleach doesn't say Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, you know, Divrei Mishomin? Would he then be chayev? Which is a pretty shocking, you know, idea. And then there's discussion, oh, maybe it's tanina, meaning it's covered, you know, there's, you know, you don't have to actually make the tanina, but when we say tanina, talk about this more, I guess, next year in Gittin, the phrase tanina, right, is understood literally as, you know, kishmo keinu, anachnu toanim avuro, or bishvilo, right? So I told you we sometimes lapse into Hebrew. What that means is that basically it's a taina and it's a ptur, but you have to you don't have to actually articulate it. We, the halacha, articulate it on your behalf. But sometimes taninan means you don't have to articulate it because it isn't really a taina. Right? In this particular case, if you ask me, I don't know this 100% directly, but it's a davar pasha to me, it would be shocking otherwise. Like, according to Rav Chaim's Mahalach in Ein Shliach Ledvar Aveira, right, the Ramah's question doesn't get off the ground, and it's better not to say taninan. It's better to say divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomim crystallizes what we mean when we say there's no bailus, you know, in shlichus laveira. Divrei Rav, divrei Talmud, divrei Mishomim. You can't, you know, the shliach can't say, oh, I didn't do anything. I was just following orders from the mishaleach. Mishaleach doesn't have a right to give the order. He doesn't have jurisdiction to burn down somebody else's barn. Or to do an Aveira, in the case of Mazik, to do an Aveira, you know, in the case of a real Aveira. Divrei Rav, Divrei Talmud, Divrei Tzadok, Taina, it is, right, capturing the notion that there's no Bailus, and you need Bailus, and therefore there's no Samchut, and there's no Shulchan. So that's an important perspective to know. Two more points before we move on. In the end of the day, if we don't interpret this way, we have basically three options, right? One is to say that Inja Chadvar Veira, you know, here is not relevant to the issue. B, to say that Niske Mamon is an Aveira, and that's the reason why it does qualify. Three, to limit this, as I was suggesting, maybe to age. So that is something that we don't find explicitly, but in terms of the evidence of the Gemara, it would be something that would be very intriguing to look for. And that is true, that chiddush, that may be only age, that is true, we have that phenomenon in the Rajba of Einon Shemin Adin, right? And again, when it comes to Kamle Bedraba Mine, we should note that the primary evidence, you know, is Eish. Right. So the idea that we might be Mechalek in some of the things between the Niske Mamon, or between different types of Mazikin, is very intriguing. Again, in the case of Kamle Bedraba Mine, it would be about the question of the Schaivas Midas, or more natural here, etc. So that's one. On the other hand, we should note, and we're going to get to this in a couple of minutes, that Dafka, in the context of Ein Shleichus Dvar Aveira, is where the Rambam, in Hilchos Chovel, applies the concept of Iser to Mazik. Right, so that's intriguing, too. And we'll get to why that may be so soon. But the Rambam, in Perikei, Hilchos Chovel Mazik, basically describes the Mishaleach as a Shutaf, right, to the Aveira with the Shliach. So it's fascinating. He's explaining, he's coming to the same conclusion, Ein Shleichus Dvar Aveira, but he's telling you that both of them violate some sort of Iser. So it's fascinating that that is, I mean, there are two places, as we noted, pretty much, where the Rambam accentuates Iser in Mazik. We'll explain why in a couple of minutes. And that's one of them, the Mishaleach, and by extension, Kol Shekein, the Shliach, are involved in some sort of Iser. So I don't think that's a coincidence. I don't think it's a coincidence that he brings it in because of the Mishaleach, even though it's a Kol Shekein to the Shliach. We'll see the language of the realm in a couple of minutes. So that's Ein Shleichus Dvar Aveira. Regarding Einon Shemin Adin, a number of you brought to my attention the view of the Marikatz, which I was also going to bring up, and I particularly wanted to bring it up later for a different point. Marie Katz on Einon Shemin Adin says something very important. What does he say? Avrami, you brought it to me also yesterday, right? And Natan, you what? Ah, you have language?
Yeah.
Okay.
Says that Master Muhammad the Om Shemin Adin comes to the Kodos, it says, Yeshua, I'm not pleading to the Mechilta, no Asalash, Mina, the Pew, Mammon, Allah, the Isser Takala, the Om Shemin Adin, the Yemen Shemai, the Ashkafam, the Nazik, and Onish Bide Shemai, and Gabi Shor, began by Allah, you must. I mean, Bide Shemai, about Mammon, Om Shemin.
Yeah. So basically, this, of course, is a very, very important comment, and for two reasons, really. Number one, it confirms our analysis that, you know, basically, you know, should you say Ein Onshin, you know, Min Adin? I mean, should you really say Ein Onshin Min Adin? After all, maybe that's special din in Kapara, or the factor of Kapara, or maybe it's a din about the inner logic, you know, the limitations of human beings, you know, logically, I'm adding, especially when it comes to inner logic, halachos, right? But the more something is a natural, you know, din, a svara, right, the more unlikely it is to say, you know, should I think? That was exactly our analysis, and that's why we're saying that according to the Rajba, maybe it's limited to bor, because bor is particularly mechudash, right? It's singular, and that's why we were suggesting the whole thing might be very, very important for our sugya. So what Marie Katz is basically saying is that there are two dinim in Mazik. There's a din Iser, there's a din Mamon. And that the din Mamon is Svara, and the din Iser is something which is subject to ein onshin min adin.
Wait, the din iser or the onish b'deishamayim?
Well, presumably the onish b'deishamayim. Oh, it's okay. So I think it's. Let me just add one other thing, and then you'll tell me this is what you mean. So there's an additional element in the Marikatz worth noting, and that's his example. Abrami, what's the example?
Kofar.
So midik kofar. In the case where the animal kills the person, and let's add, right? Typically, in a case, I mean, because the example of the pasuk is an example of a shor hanogeach with a muad, right? Otherwise, the shor is a shor niskal, but the adam is not chayiv kofar. So midde kofar. In a case, typically in a case of muad, right? Nishma lekol niske mamun, nishma lebor, and everything that goes with it. Let's assume that the Marikatz is not saying what the Rajba said, that this is dafka bebor, right? So that's a very remarkable thing. Is the again? It's number one. It's misa. Right, and it's also kofar, which is kapara. Right, to say about an explicit case of kapara, right, that that ain onshin min adin is one thing. You would say that about even if there's an iser, just the imposition of an iser, where the iser doesn't necessarily reflect any kind of kapara. That's an ain onshin min adin issue, right? So, again, I think that is the second chiddush of the Marikatz. The first chiddush is that there's a difference between tashlumin and, I'll stick to what I said before, iser. The second chiddush is to assume from kofar, right, both the case, that's what I mean by it, the result, the misa, the role of the adam, in that it's dafka, perhaps, a muad case, right? Number three, the fact that kofar is kapara, you would equate that across the board with this kemamun, right? Yeah.
Just a clarification, is there anything that he's also referring to, let's say, Ayide Grubba being Chai B'dei Shemayim? Is it only referring to...
No, I think he is saying Chai B'dei Shemayim. He might even be saying that. Oh, even with no chiv tashlumin, you're asking.
There's no chiv tashlumin, right?
I'm not sure. He's definitely talking about a case where there is tashlumin and there's also chiv latzidei. He does use the expression chiv latzidei shemayim. So it might be. I mean, like the nunvav cases or the balbatsa chav gimel cases. Yeah. That's an interesting. Rabbi's raising a very interesting question. Am I allowed to call you Rabbi, or do we have to go back to, you know, which is kind of ironic? So we say Rabbi Rabbi.
Speak back to the kolon and convertants.
Correct.
Rabbi.
Yeah, or since then you got the title, therefore now we can be, you were Robbie when you were Robbie, so now you can be, still be Robbie when you're Robbie? Okay, I'm not sure. So I have to think about that.
Create confusion amongst Israelis over the summer. I thought my wife was referring to me as Robbie.
Yes. So it's a problem you're probably always going to have. Anyways, but yeah, I think it's a very good ha'ara. I'm not really sure. Anyway, so the Marikatz is a mechudash for both those reasons, and that really goes a little bit, I think, to what Ellie's comment was, right, which is this a din in Iser or in Onesh or in Kapara, right? That's what you meant, kind of? Yeah. Okay, good. So something to think about. The other thing just to mention about Ein Shlichut V'Aravera is that, again, we had the two cases. One was Bor, and the other one was Eish. And we already raised the question whether it's limited to those cases, to one, to the other. Again, Ein Shlichut V'Aravera is about Bor and Eish. Those are both the most, the Chudash, clearly, the most outlying of the, in one respect, of the Niske Mamon. The Rambam, by the way, in Mordechai, particularly singles out Eish and Bor, when he talks about Niske Mamon. As paradigm cases. Paradigms because he thinks they're really classical, or paradigms because they're so, you know, mechudash, and that's what this came moment is as a category. That I'm not sure. His presentation, Yad HaChazaka, we'll speak about as well. But justice also an interesting issue that comes up that I just want to mention now, but we'll go into when we go into four later. And that, of course, is Rashi's comment in Bava Kamma that that part of the problem is kilkul rishus harabim. And then the secondary debate among the achronim, whether kilkul rishus harabim is only an iser derabanan, or that is bor, or something like bor, and it's an iser deraisa. That's a discussion in the Mishnah LeMelech, in Nuchas Rotzeach Perek Beis, and the Minchas Chinuch strongly disagrees in his discussion of bor. So that's something to think about that we'll discuss a little bit later. The more you look at bor as in terms of the nezek and the hezek, they're going to back to our discussion of the Rajba and our mentioning bor at the outset. I think Eitan made the comment when I asked him originally. Maybe do you look at bor as you know your chiyuv mazik once it happened, goy milsel mafreya? You know that what you did when you dug the bor was tchilas hezek, and the chiddush is in this expansiveness of the act of hezek, even though it's b'shev al tas, even with all the factors of the Rajba and the Gemara and so on, or you know whether or not we look at the you know distinctiveness of bor not as an extension or expansion or more of a chiddush in hezek, but on the contrary, right? We dig in, if you don't mind the pun. And what we say is that, you know, what's singular about bor is what's mechayiv in bor, right? Namely, yetziras atakala, right? Creating the mazik, right? In Ochanami, if we were measuring and engaging it, I think we'll discuss this every time we discuss bor. If we were engaging this in terms of hezek, then all these things might be too much. It wouldn't be a weak hezek or a mechudash hezek. It just wouldn't qualify. Right, but these features establish that bor is chayiv because bor is chayiv because it's yitziras atakala, and again highlighted by lifneiver lusite michshol, you know, in the comment of the Mesha Chachma, you know, being particularly bor because that's what yitziras atakala is. Yeah, we still have to talk a little bit about losasim damim beveisacha and maka, you know, which have a greater affinity in a way. In other words, creating the environment or creating a mazik or holding the maksik, a mazik. So if that's what it is, then in one respect, you know, there are still two perspectives you can take. You know, if you take the view, let me make it clear, that the mechayiv and bor is common with all the others and it's the maisa hezek. So it's clear that bor is the most mechudash, you know, and so on. And there still might be nafkaminas because of it and so on. If you take the view that bor, the mechayiv is yitzira samazik, right? There are two ways to go with that too. One is to say that in some respects that's like even more obvious mechayiv. In other words, if you were to take the view that well, in this case, moment are rachok because there are too many factors involved, right? But yitzira samazik is a mechayiv, right? He did that himself. Right, but it's still different. So there are still two ways to look at it. One is that you know it's a different mechayiv, better, worse, same. The other way is that in general, nizkei mamon are problematic, and bor is the least problematic because at least in bor, as I say, he did what he did directly, and really it's about the way you treat or allow. You know, mazikim to run around. So again, lefnivah lesite nechshol, that if that's the real makar, then bor is the ultimate. Right? So kilkul rishus harabim becomes an interesting issue in that way. Kilkul rishus harabim is a separate din. Again, according to the Mishnah Melech, a din drabanan, your responsibility to the rishus harabim, okay. Or kilkul rishus harabim, if really bor is about yitzira samazik, right, then kilkul rishus harabim is an expression of that. Maybe. So that's something we have to look at and think about more as we build up the database. As we said, Eish being unique is a similar kind of a problem phenomenologically, meaning Eish is more mechudash relative to other nizkei mamon because koach acher mu'urabo and it's a davar shem b'mamish as a cheftza, right? So you could continue to look at Eish as a weak link, right? And then discuss, you know, it's a weak link which is still within the range, you know? Or it's a weak link which is chayiv, but there are other kulas. Or you could turn it around and say that Eish isn't a weak link. It's a different mechayiv, or maybe even a paradigm of chiyuv. Because, especially if you hold Eish Mishum Chitza, right, or Chetzi, or however you're supposed to pronounce it, right? Because then it's Maisa Hezek. So the fact that, you know, the Gemara, Anein Shech Adva Aveira, or in Kimele B'Rabba Minei, or Einon Shemir Adin, might be limited. That's why it's interesting that the Rambam in Mordavuchin, Dafka, mentions Eish and Bor. Right? You can either see them in these opposite ways. Okay, so this is something else to think about. Then, of course, we talked about, and we'll talk more about it, whether or not Osir Lahatzil or Chayiv, when you're Matzil, B'mamon Shel Chavero, that's another example of a Gemara that uses the expression Iser, and we're not sure whether it holds or not. You have to look at the Gemara's language and Tosis and the Rambam. Talk more about that. And now we're up to discussing the question of Rabbeinu Yonah. So I want to talk about Rabbeinu Yonah and the Rambam. I want to get that in at least today, and then hopefully some of the Nafka Mina. So if there is an Iser Lahazik, right, what is that Iser? So we've already talked about there being more generally Surim, and what the impact of that is. More likely, if they're generally Surim, that isn't the Mechayiv of the Tashlumin, but that's, you know, Hailuchudaikoi, Mahailuchudaikoi. There are two things happening at the same time. On the other hand, the more we're talking about a specific type of Mazik, and what is this isn't just very, very broad, then the question of the relationship to Tashlumin, as whether the Tashlumin is connected to it or there are two dinim, becomes more acute. So for that, we have Velo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, the way Rabbeinu Chananel seems to interpret it. In the Chidushia Grach al Hashas, we quote from Bircha Shmua that was Rab Chaim's view as well. Adam brought to my attention that in the, we'll talk more about this later, that in Bircha Shmua, is it Simon Beis?
Yeah.
It's really formulated a little bit differently.
I thought even in the Haggah and Rab Chaim, it could also
really?
Be the same thing. Yeah.
Okay. The way I heard it, Rab Chaim thought, Lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav, is really, but as you thought that was the same as in the Bircha Shmua?
Yeah.
I'll look at it again. More that it's an expansion. How does he say it there?
The whole parasha is not just ne'emar le'inyan tashlum, but that it's also ne'emar le'inyan onchim and isurim. It doesn't point to a particular mukkar as this being the mukkar.
This isn't the mukkar. This is an indicator that there
the
is an isur.
Yeah, I don't know. He says the whole parasha is talking about isur as well as tashlum.
Okay, I'm not sure what that means even exactly.
Right.
Okay, but the way I heard it, and certainly the way it sounds like in Rabbeinu Chananel also, is that V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav is a Mechayiv. Now, V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav being a Mechayiv is something to talk about again.
They published the thing of Chidushi Grash, Grash and Baba Kama. They have it like Rebbe was saying there.
Oh, they do? You mean the... in the
second book, I don't know, like Kismet Tamidim or... Not, it's not identical to either.
The one that the family put out or that other one?
That other one.
Oh, they have it the way I'm saying it.
Yeah.
I don't usually like to endorse that book so much, but I guess what can you do if they, you know, if they got it right? Did you check it against the real one?
What?
Did you check it against the real one?
The original one?
The notebook that the family put out.
I didn't. So.
Okay, so we'll do that over Rosh Hashanah. Ellie, I'll assign that to you.
The real one, Reb Chaim, that
as you're also catching up on superconducting, you'll catch up on
that. Reb Chaim that Ermeislin put out is the real one, right?
The Shi'urei Reb Chaim that the family put out, it could be reminds was wrong, is the real one.
Yeah.
Those were notebooks that that the Rav got from his father, who got them from Reb Chaim, of his Shi'urim in Velazhen. So what happened was, again, this is not for now, but so somebody in Eretz Yisrael got hold of part of it, put out a volume on Bava Kama and another volume on Bava Metzia, but also added other things in. And so then, the Dr. Soloveitchik, who had control of that book at that point, decided that he was going to put it out, the real book. So that's what the real one is. But we should check that. I didn't check it. I mean, I read through it a long time ago, but I don't remember this particular piece. I always thought of it that way anyway. So we'll look at it. Okay. Let me just add, why is that so important, even what we're debating, what is it important? Because V'lo Yishmer Ba'alav is, if it's a makar, it's a makar within Dine Nizke Mamon. V'lo Yishmerenu appears twice, by the way, one in the context of Kofar, and the other, of course, in the context of the Nizke Mamon part of Shor. It's the Nizke Mamon part of Shor that we're particularly speaking about. But what's more important about it, particularly... is what? What would you say, Adam? Why is this so important? Because if it's the real makar, not just an indication that there is some sort of iser, it also maybe characterizes the nature of the iser and the nature of the chiyuv. Meaning, in what sense?
Fixed on like pshia shmira.
Exactly. So as I've said before, we have no secrets here, right? So when it comes to this kimamon, we'll discuss this more in the psukim. But if you look at the parsha in Mishpatim. And then if you just take a step back, if you look at the Parsha Mishpatim and you look at the Mishnayos alone, you can pick up on this. Then, of course, if you learn the Gemaras and if you think, even cursorily, never mind obsessively, about what's going on in all these cases. So what is very clear is that there are certain factors, right, in this Kemamon, you know, that are players, are contenders for the ultimate mechayev and certainly play a role in the chiyuv. And as I've said before, they are the Maisa Hezek, right? They are Bailus. In some cases, they are Yitzira Samazik, in the case of Bor in particular, maybe also Eish, right? And the other one is the absence of Shmira, right? These are four factors. Which, in the, again, we'll document this when we go forward, but in the Pesukim itself, V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav is an example, right? Ki Yichre Ishbor is about Yitziras HaBor. Right? The Mechilta already notes that Torah speaks about Bor differently than other, that fits in very well with what we were just saying a few minutes ago, without, right? Sometimes the Torah speaks about the Maisa Hezek, and sometimes it speaks about the owner of the mazik. So ownership of the mazik, right, the act of hezek, right, in some cases yitziras hamazik, and shmira are four factors that are part of the story of Nizkei Mamon. Some of them are part of the story of Adam HaMazik as well. The question is, in what proportion? Right, there needs to be an active hezek of some sort, right? Ownership is important. Whose bank account are you going to get the money from? But is that a mechayev? Is the Maisa Hezek a mechayev, even though it's, in the case of this Gemamon B'Shev Al Tasa, in a way, it was done by the animal? Right? Is Bailus a mechayev? I mean, you're the owner. You know, maybe that's why, again, we draw from your bank account. Does that mean that the owner, being the owner of a mazik, makes you chayev? Or makes you connected to its Maisa Hezek? Right? Yetzirah Samazik is its own story. But Shmira is particularly intriguing too. So there are two very different ways to look at the Shmira factor in this Kimomo. Right? One is in terms of Pturonis. Like if you did everything you could, even if the Mechayev is the Maisa Hezek of the animal, or it's considered to be sometimes yours, right? Or even if the Mechayev is Bailus over the Nezek or the Mazik, or the Maisa Hezek. In the end of the day, if you did everything you could, so then maybe there's a Pturonus, or there probably should be a Pturonus. So it's not that V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav is part of the Mechayiv. V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav just indicates that there's a limit and there are cases of Ptur. It's connected to the Ptur when it exists, not to the Chiyuv, right, where it exists. Or no, V'lo Yishmerenu Ba'alav is a factor in the Mechayiv, in the Chiyuv. And if so, it is what transforms these other things or allows these other things to get over the hurdle. And I'm sorry it's complicated. It happens to be. We just don't know. Right? Meaning it somehow is mitzaref you. That's what it is. To one of these other factors. Or, more intriguing, it's the mechayev. Right? You didn't do the act of ezek, but in some respects... your lack of shmira you know, makes you directly culpable, directly connected to it. It's kind of pshia, as we say. Right? And we'll talk today, before we finish, about posheya being kamazik, according to the Rambam, in a certain context. But maybe in the context of shmiras niske mamon, too. Right? Velo yishmerenu ba'alav. There are a lot of things to wonder about. Even if you think velo yishmerenu ba'alav is the mechayiv, right? You can still wonder, is that a sheval tas? It is. Physically, it's a sheval tas. You know, lack of shmira. But do we look at it as a, you know, as a sheval tase, given the fact that it's your animal and you should be doing the shmira? We'll talk a little bit about that. So if the makor is v'lo yishmerenu ba'alav, right, and it's not just a way of indicating, you know, that you should have and therefore you're, it's asur, right, the idea that choser shmira may be the mechayiv or a critical part of the mechayiv emerges. Now, of course, this is very well known. Just to crystallize it, to be 2 days in Rashi on Daf Tes on the base. But, you know, that's not where it ends. Arye, what's on Tes on the base? Or you want to ask questions?
Yes, question.
Yeah, go ahead.
Just look at this perspective with the emphasis on Shmira. What would happen if you give your fee of Shmira to someone else and actually point to there?
Yeah, so that's, of course, that's a sugya and a kones. Right. So you could do that, but then he becomes.
Who would he have a few?
Yeah, that's a sugya in Perika Kones, 100%. So we'll talk about that as well. He's nichnas tachas habaylim. The question is, why is he nichnas? A ganav for gazlan is nichnas tachas habaylim, and a shomer is nichnas tachas habaylim. And the question is, why? Because he's the only, you know, last person, or because shmira is anyways the mechayim? That would be a very important issue. I think we have to track this through a lot of things. Yeah.
Shouldn't it be a chano if you assume the shrek with Tronis?
Yeah.
The Bechana speaking to Solomon about Mandomer, Abinus, Nasa, and saying why would be Potter because the Puzzle Namazi and Shira, unless it's lost because of Shima Kaidik. So it sounds like it might be more of the Tronis and not the Kiev like a Khan, no?
It sounds like a Bechayev.
Nothing. I mean, he's saying why you'd be
putter
than Pagan Niska
Knossa. If you hold
Pagan Niska Knossa,
so.
I'm sure I'm not.
So, because there's no violation of Shmira there, because there's no reason that you should think. If you hold Pagan Niska Knossa, so you're saying that there was no reason for excessive Shmira, and therefore there's no.
That the Torah wasn't Machayim Shmira, except for you have to because of Loish Nambala.
Sounds like a p'tur. Why does that sound like a p'tur? Why can't you say there's no mechayev in knas, and therefore it's only a knas? V'lo yishmerenu ba'alav, meaning this animal is being watched properly. It doesn't require extra shmira, given the circumstances. You're not supposed to think that your docile, you know, milk cow, you know, is all of a sudden going to go on a rampage, and therefore there's no choser shmira. Why, how do we know that? No, the pasuk is telling you that there's no violation, there's no mechayiv because there's no that the only time that there's a violation is when there's a fee of shmira that you didn't meet. I think that's all it is. Anyways, so the 2 days of Rashi, of course, on Tesla days come from the Mishnah, right? The Mishnah says, you have it there, Tzvi? Yeah.
I'm the new guy.
What?
I'm the new
Oh, I don't know about that. But you want to be?
Okay. Taking application.
It all equals out, you know. But I assume you're saying that like with excitement.
If there are new guys here, I would want to give them a chance.
Yeah. Hard Mishnah to read, right? Kol shechavti. How you go? Kol shechavti. Yeah. So that's a hard. Those words are tough. Very inspiring because the Mishnah is trying to say something like, if you just read the words, it's hard to know what that means. Correct. Well, how does it continue?
Shariti b'mitzas nesko chavti.
Wow. They're very hard to read. Okay, so what does Rashi say about what the words mean?
Rashi says, Shechati b'shirasso, Shenizkayati l'shomro. So, Shartin Shesko, Klomar, in Hizik, if Shartin Zimanti also has it. Shaloshomar, Kizyafa.
Yeah.
Kakmasaku. Lishnafrina, if Shartin Shesko, Aladak Shirotakin Shesko, Klomar, and he has a Shalit.
Yeah. So this is a famous Rashi that everybody picked up on, where Rashi basically has two formulations in that intriguing language of the Mishnah, right? The first one is, see, how does it go?
The first one would be, read again, or?
No, you don't have to read again.
Okay, so.
Especially, so like, you know,
so
I have to, you know, I have to use you carefully. Right?
First one is, if it damages, then I cause that damage.
I mean, the first one is the mechayev. Correct? Meaning, I zimanti means I cause the damage through my lack of shmirah. Right, what's the second one?
The second one is the damage.
There's damage.
And as the owner, I have to now.
I'm obligated to pay. I make it right. So hichsharti either means I caused it, garamti, hizmanti is like garamti. Maybe it's a more, you know, a lashon rafa. Maybe it's a little lighter language, but basically it means I did it. It's tracing the mechayev, right? Tikanti or chayev ani l'taken means I've got to write the check. I've got to make it right. Doesn't mean I didn't do anything. I mean I don't have a pteronis, right? Okay, so we'll talk more about that. But if the mechayev is v'lo yishmarenu ba'alav, it brings it in. If again, and if you say that it, especially if you say that turns into more of a kumbase or the equivalent of a kind of a kumbase, it actually brings niske mamon closer to adam amazik. Right, it makes it my. It's my failure. Is it also my action because of that? Again, those who were here last year, well, we'll talk about this more in a minute. But we talked about Haggadah's Eidos in the beginning of the Chiyuv Haggadah. That was our introductory topic last year. Does a Chiyuv Haggadah of Eidim Ki'ilu make the Eidim responsible, right, for the Hefsed that takes place if they're silent? Right? So that's a whole debate. Does Chiyuv Haggadah, you know, create a Chiyuv Garmi or more than Garmi? Most Rishonim say not. Right, the Ramban, the Rashi says not. And Bava Kama Daf Nun Vav, you know, could be Medayik and the Rashi. And the Ramban weighs the question and then ultimately comes with Rashi. But Tosas Rid and a few others, or Rabbi Yerucham, right? They say yes, it does. And we talked about it in a few places. You know, what constitutes the line between Kumbase and Sheval Tase can be much more blurred. It's not if you measure it through the physical activity. There's no, I mean, it's very easy, right? I mean, we know the differences between an active and a passive. But in the world of halacha, right, there are some passive actions which al-pidin practically turn into actions. And we're, even if we say that shmira or choser shmira is a mechayiv, we're wondering about that, and we'll get to that in just a second. Another example, a couple examples of that as well. Okay, so this is if you say v'lo yishmarenu ba'alav. This is something we have to think about very carefully. Now, is it possible that the role of Shmira differs in different Nizke Mamon and different Mazikin? Sure. Right? Again, the language of the Mishnah and Tesla Beis and the Rashi doesn't differentiate between the different Mazikin necessarily. But Misvara, for example, there's a different requirement of Shmira for, you know, shor nagach and a regular shor, right? Shmira meula, shmira pchusa. We'll talk about it all, right? What about adam amazik? Is there a factor of choser shmira and adam amazik? Choser shmira as atzmo? Yeah. No.
Yeah. So Rabbi Roman spoke about the soul like this. Just the Rabbi Shabbat, but he was quoting Rabbi in the context.
Oh.
Yeah.
Saying about what?
About different levels of shmira. How you could say that maybe the chamchayev of certain levels you could be shmira, not others in regular
scan. Yeah. So exactly. So this question of again, the Torah only uses the expression of lo yishmarenu ba'alav, right? In certain cases, Right. So the idea that that there would be a ptur onus, let's say, in some cases, and a mechayev of kosher shmirah in other cases, right, is very reasonable. Okay? So that's something else to consider. Okay. What about the idea of Rabbeinu Yonah? Let's talk about that now. Yeah.
Why does Rashi's first idea indicate a connection between Yitzchak and this Gemamon?
Between
Mazik Yadayim and this Gemamon?
I'm only saying that Rashi is I didn't say Mazik Biadayim. What I said was the first day of Rashi, as opposed to the second day of Rashi, is dealing with the Mechayev of Niskemam. He's saying that Choser Shmira Hizmin, right, or Gora Masahezek, as opposed to saying that Choser Shmira doesn't give you a Ptur Mamon, and therefore, you know, you are the address. Bessie doesn't have a bank account. Right, so therefore, what do you say? It's not my problem. I didn't do anything. You did something. You're connected enough here, and you're. It's the bottom line accountability, rather than the causal mechay. That's what I'm saying about Ra. That's the difference between his manti and chayav ani latakein. Chayav ani latakein doesn't imply any sort of direct action, any direct connection to the nezek. It could be an indirect connection. The fact that I don't have a ptur. That's all I'm saying. I'm now raising a different question and saying, well, once you say his manti means that, since it is lamaisa, physically b'shev al taisa, maybe it's what I didn't do, not what I did. Is that like I indoctrinated Bessie, you know, or whatever, to go out there and, you know, and be mazik, right? It's what I didn't do. Right, so now I'm wondering: is that a sheval tase, you know, mechayev, or does the responsibility, right, to have done shmira, also, you know, turn this in some respect into a kind of kumase, which I'll explain more. Right. That's what I mean. I'm not saying the Rashi by saying his manti takes a position on that. I'm saying Rashi in the first daya, as opposed to the second daya, takes a position on shmira being a positive factor. Not a positive action, but a positive factor as opposed to a potential ptur onus.
Right, I mean, okay. And Rashi in the second day doesn't even take a stance at all on much on the role of shmira.
No, he doesn't. But I think in contrast to the first, the implication is that it's about, you know, tashlumin, not necessarily about mechay. In contrast, I would say that. Okay. And then the possibility based on psukim and other things and the level of shmira, as I say, certainly Adam Mazik and everybody else. Adam Mazik, the question is whether Onus Gamor is chayiv for Adam Mazik. The sugya and Daf Chabad, we'll talk about it. That's a debate between the Baalei Tosfos and Ramban and others. But even in this case, Mamon, there's a difference between the level of shmira required in Karen as opposed to, let's say, Shein Beregel and so on. So, the fact that the Pasuk doesn't always speak about Velo Yishmerenu is going to be a factor. So we're going to talk about that as well. Yeah.
Isn't that
Gemara in Bochum
also?
Yeah. The one on Sabbath.
Yeah. Yeah.
Go ahead.
Isn't it Mashmah says that from the fact that it's Gemara in Ha'avim, you know, the one says Velo Yishmerenu that you don't have to pay Bor. So no, from the fact that it's written Baal Bor that is Yishal, that he's paying means that he's...
Right. It sounds there too like Shmir. And again, in Bor, there is no Maisa Hezek. So maybe Bor is Yitzira Satakala, or there's a good reason to think, you know, again, if it's Yitzira Satakala, so then, you know, the Shmir as well, it's not called Yitzira Satakala if you're Shomer it. Right? If it's not Yitzira Satakala, then the lack of Shmira as a mechayiv is a very good candidate for Bor as well, right? Precisely because the Maisa Hezek is more, you know, more diluted, right? So that Gemara in Zvachim Samach Bav is also very possibly a strong indication of that. Okay, that's Leish Menah Ba'alav, and we'll speak more. Rabbeinu Yonah. So what does Rabbeinu Yonah say? I was going to ask Tzvi, but no. Micha. What? What happened to that chair the other day? Oh, there it is. Yeah, we'll switch off. Yeah. What is Rabbeinu Yonah say?
Sigzel Macher. Lo Sigzel.
Yeah. Rabbeinu Yonah says Lo Sigzel. And that's fascinating. And there's much talk about it in that as well. But before we get into what he says, how he says it is just astonishing. Right? It's one of my favorite Rabbeinu Yonahs. That's a big statement, because I have a lot of favorite Rabbeinu Yonahs. Big fan of Rabbeinu Yonah. Rabban's cousin, Rabbeinu Yonah. Right? So why? That's just a remarkable Rabbeinu Yonah. I'm building it up. Is it? You agree?
Yes.
So what is the, what am I so excited about?
That he says it's the part of the Masorah that Los Igzal is.
Rabbeinu Yonah wants to know, is raising the question, what's the question he's asking?
Is why does Pirkei Avos start off with the Masorah?
Why does Pirkei Avos start off with the Masorah? Right? Moshe Kibbol Torah Mesinai, and so on. Right? What's the big deal? You could add, if you want, that it's particularly striking, as people have, that a lot of Avos is very profound wisdom, but it's very logical profound wisdom, right? It's a high standard of morality. We could say, just as we talked the other day about, Haiman de Boilem have a chasida, right? One of the deos was l'kiyume mili de Avos, so that Avos is a kiyum, we understand, but the other part of the question, which is you're chassid in Avos, that's the Pnimishur Sadin. It's just some of the things are. Some of them are. But it's certainly very logical. Correct? So what, you need a Masorah for that? So Rabbeinu Yonah says, yeah, of course we do, because otherwise we wouldn't know that what?
That
Los Igzal includes Nezek. So what's so fascinating about that is, how's Rabbeinu Yonah know that? Where does it say that in the Masorah? The answer is it doesn't, really. I mean, it doesn't say it explicitly. Not everybody agrees to it. Right? So Rabbeinu Yonah had that Masorah from his Rabbeim, apparently. But even more than that is, it explains, or it reflects a wider understanding of what we mean by the Masorah. Right? There's a Masorah of details. Maybe Rabbeinu Yonah had this as a Masorah of details. And there's also a more global Masorah of understanding, how things work. So for this to be an example of why the Masorah is so necessary, when not everybody even agrees with it and thinks it's part of the Masorah, is amazing. But inspiring amazing. Not difficult amazing. Right? Rabbeinu Yonah basically was troubled by the problem that we're troubled with, and that is there an Iser Lahazik? If so, where is it, and why isn't it explicit in the Torah, like Gezela, for example? Right? And he's suggesting that there's a Masorah that Nezek is part of Gezela. And once, especially, certain other really subtle, interesting things, right, that becomes, much more compelling. But it's a great example of Masorah. Masorah doesn't always mean that you've got this particular detail. There's a Masorah of understanding the system, right? And sometimes that leads you to certain conclusions that are part of the Masorah. Maybe they're more part of the Masorah than the details that you just happen to authentically get, ishmi pi ish, ad beis dino shamosh rabbein. So that's why I'm excited about Rabbeinu Yonah. The shita and the idea, the concept. So the truth is that we have this Gemara in Daf Samech that we talked about, right, where the Gemara says, Gemara quotes a Pasuk. The Pasuk mentions Gezel, and for a group of Rishonim, at least, some of the Chachmi Ashkenaz or Beni Yakir, right, we're talking about Mazik, right? Mazik Almanas L'shalim is Rasha, based on the Pasuk of Gezel. The truth is, Balei Tosis also make reference to it a little bit. We still have to discuss when you do the Tosis, the Sugya, Beis Amidal to Beis Amidal. Also look at the Tosis in Al-Atar, of course, and if you can, some of the Shittim Gubensis, just even on some of the linguistic things, like the order, the Hain. They're small things, right? Not Hain, but, Arba, Avos, Nezikin, Hain, or not Hain. But, some of them are relevant to what we were discussing. Like, what is the order of the Torah? Is that important, or is it just not arbitrary, clearly? The order of the Torah presented certain dinim. So do we go with that in the Mishnayos? Do we change? Just like the presentation of Adam HaMazik is important. Presentation of the order of the Nizkei Mamons are important. Even something like Hain, I can't prove it, but you know, does it matter whether you're talking about Mechaivim or Hechtimtzis? Right? Interesting question. Anyway, why am I telling you this? So Tosis has a comment. Some of you mentioned it, Agav, the other day a little bit. What's the makor for Adam HaMazik? Is Adam HaMazik in Parshas Mishpatim at all? Or is it in Vayikra, Maka, you know, Behema Yishalmen, Maka Adam Yumas? Again, this is relevant to our, you know, Mava is or isn't Adam is in the Mishnah. Mava belongs in the Chos Nizkei Mamon. I mean, Adam belongs in Nizkei Mamon. Adam precedes the other Nizkei Mamon, like the Tur, or it's in the middle of Hilchos Chavala, like the Rambam. Right? Is there an Iser? Is there a difference in the Iser? You know, for the for Adam HaMazik and everybody else, I mentioned that the, you know, the Shulchan Aruch only mentions the Iser Lahazik by Adam. The Tur has it by Adam and by Nizkei Mamon. Right? The Rambam has it by Nizkei Mamon. Right? So what is it in the Parsha or not? Right, so there are two deos in Tosfos here. Where's the line? Where is it? Which one is it? Which one? The last line, right? Yeah. Okay. So we'll talk about all these cases, but the line that I'm referring to is Shemavik Kodim Lehever. I'm sorry. The Shame Adam Ksiv Parsha Kodim Ki Yignov Ishor Hu Echad Mi Avos Zikim. Either that, or it's the Parshas Emor Maka Behemi Shamena. How does it go? The Pasuk Maka Behemi Shamena, and then what? Ah. So that's a very interesting. If that's the makor for Adam HaMazik, then you have Adam HaMazik and Adam HaMemis in the same pasuk. Right, that's very interesting. Either way, that it's there and it's in Vayikra, that it's not in the Parsha and Mishpatim, would be significant. Right. The second day in Tosis here is that it is Ki Igno Vishar. Ki Igno Vishar is Adam HaMazik? What is it? Adam. Connected to Mava, which is Adam HaMazik.
That's one of the other apples in Zikin.
What?
We can use the Lashon, since that Lashon came first, it's also one of the apples in Zikin.
Right.
First.
I mean, if it's apples and oranges, what's it got to do with anything?
Well, similar to like Karen and Shore.
I mean, he
says Shem Adam Musker, and then you think, I mean, if there's a point, it's that Roshaya thinks that Abu.
Right, I'm assuming that these discussions are serious, significant. Like, let's just throw a technicality. Right? That's my working assumption always. Right? So, it could be that we differ in that. No, I'm sure not. For your sake. So the Meiri has another suggestion. Nugfo, Isha, you know, Hara. I think the Meiri has a suggestion. That's also interesting because that's close to Kabbalah. Right? So again, Adam HaMazik, his connection to Adam HaMemis, to Rotzeach, and it's in Vayikra, or it's Gonev, or it's Chovel. All right, interesting. Anyways, you have the Gemara in Samach according to some Rishonim, and you have possibly the Pasuk. The who mentioned to me? The Natan also mentioned it. That's Rosh, right? The Tosa Rosh in Gittin Nun Gimel Amud Beis Agav just mentions that you know, also talking about the question of Hezek Shen Nikar Lo Shma Hezek. You know, that sure, you violate the Iser Geneva, right? Or Gezela. Correct. So what's fascinating, the Tur, what's the language of the Tur here? Tur?
The Gezela Hazek, he connects them.
What? He connects to Geneva. Do we have a language? Oh. Excellent. So what does that imply, Avi?
That just like Isser by Neva, Zewa, there's also Isser over here.
Right. Kashem is always a loaded term. What does the Bach say? Did you see it?
Bach reads it as it's a similar structure that there's both Mushroom and Isser.
Yeah. The Bach tries to basically downgrade it, downgrade the Kashem. But what's fascinating to me is the tour was particularly, this is a historical point, but it's a relevant one in this case, I think. The tour was particularly enamored of and influenced by Rabbeinu Yonah and Amos. The whole Hakdama of the tour comes from, as I mentioned, Ha'olam Omed, Ha'olam Kayim. He quotes Rabbeinu Yonah by name. Right? So we know that he not only read Rabbeinu Yonah and Amos, but was particularly partial to it. So it's, I'm not saying that he got it from, maybe it's the same Masorah, who knows. But it's also fascinating that the Tosa Rush in Gittin has that comment. And of course, the Tur is the son of the Rush. Right. So I take it, even aside from those two things, just the historical parts, I would say, an interesting, quirky thing to think about. But I take Kishames, just as I take the other thing seriously. I take Kishames very seriously. So even though the Bach is obviously a little uncomfortable with it, right? But the Pashtus, the Tur, is connecting to Geneva or Gezela. The Shulchan Aruch, when they quote this part, right, omits the Kishem. Anybody have the language of Shulchan Aruch? By Adam Amazek? Yeah, so the Hiziko is straight out of the tour, correct? But he just dropped the Kashem. He was obviously a little uncomfortable with it. So there are strong indications that this is a major debate, about the connection to Geneva. And in light of that, of course, Goneva Manasla Meika, as I mentioned before, if it's only Goneva, but if it's also Gozel, is it also Mazik, right, in the Mishnah and Kufi Dalet and Sugya and Daf Samech? By the way, Agav, I just never got back to explaining the language of the Rambam. The Rambam says, Shoyol Yargil Atzmo Bekach. What I meant to say, if it wasn't clear, was that while some Mefarshim interpret that to be a Din Drabanan, it doesn't seem like the Rambam's quoting Siyagim Drabanan on Daf, right in the beginning of Hilchos Geneva. What the Rambam probably means is, in Achanami, the Rambam wants to emphasize, in Achanami, right, Almanas Lemekat is a chalos, by which I mean, could have said, whatever your intentions are, objectively you took this object, and therefore your intentions don't register halachically. You're a Gan of Gomor. Almanas Lemekat is your Dvarim Shebelev. I don't care whether you told it to other people or not. In which case, Gonev Amanas L'Mekat, Gozel Amanas L'Mekat, Mazik Amanas L'Mekat, none of it should matter. Because what we're really saying is, I'm using this expression, Dvarm Shebelei Veinam Dvarm, something like that. Right? And I think what the Rambam wants us to know, and this is consistent with the fact that he does limit it to Gonev and not to Gozel, is that no, you're Asur in Gonev Amanas L'Mekat or Amanas L'Shalem, not because there's no Chalos, no such thing. There is. But the nature of Geneva is such that since objectively you were Kovesh Mamun Chaveiro even for a minute, right? The focus is not, if the focus was just on the, or more on the Hefzid Mamon side than in Ochanami, that would impact on this question. But because in Geneva, even more than Gezela, the Maisa Geneva is a Mechayiv, right? Because it's a Maisa there. It's a heinous act. So is a Yigzos Achanis Mi'ala Mitzri, by the way. But not as much as stealing into somebody's house, B'seiser, and so on. Shelo Yargil Bekach is the Tamei HaMitzvos, if you will. Why? That's still called Chalos Geneva, even though we do register Almanas Lemekat. The Ksos has a discussion. Ksos says that Gonev Almanas Lemekat, right, is Asur, right, but there's no Chiyav Achrayas. But typically, when you steal something, there's a chiyuv achrayas. There are kinyane gzela, in addition to chiyuve gzela. The ksos is wondering, maybe there's no chiyuv achrayas, there's no chiyuve gzela, there's only an iser. Could argue, or maybe say something different. Maybe there's no kinyane gneva, because you don't really intend to keep it. Maybe there are chiyuvim, there's a chiyuv achrayas, but maybe there are no kinyanim, there's no, important nafkamina. I'm not going to get into Karen Kane Shagana, other things. You don't have those stealing. Okay? But the point I'm trying to make, so that's what the Rambam is trying to tell us. But what about, now for the other Rishonim who don't agree with the Rambam and who think that Amanas Lamekad, it goes beyond Geneva, is it because they think that, whatever your intentions are, they don't register in Zohalos? In which case, it's a statement about Amanas Lamekad more than anything else. Or is the comment like the Rambam? Enochanami, right? But the Maisa of Hotzom, the Maisa that you're doing, as long as there is also a Chefza Shel Nezek, right? Even if it's not a long-term Mechayiv of Chefza Shel Nezek, is Oser. Now, is it an argument about Abanas LeMekad, or is it an argument about Gezela? And then by extension, the question in Mazik becomes very important. Right. If Gzela has Amanas LeMekad, but Mazik doesn't, that would be very important. Okay. Anyways, the more you look at Rabbini from a Rabbini Yonah point of view, the more this becomes a very important question. So this issue plays out a lot, in my opinion, or at least a perspective on it, in the interface between Geneva or Gzela on the one hand and Mazik on the other. I'll explain it in 1 second. Yeah.
So is it possible that the way that Rabbi Yonah interpreted sort of by saying that all the Nezikinus Baklal is all, and that aspect of it is the Masorah. The Masorah is that he's a Baklal and Zigzal.
Yeah.
I sort of thought that his point was that there are a lot of Dinim in, with like the Zikin, like Seder Nezikin, like in general, that aren't enforced by Torah, and that, if you didn't have Torah Shabbat Peh, you wouldn't know all these dinim, all the dinim that are bechalal, low tigzol. You wouldn't know them unless.
But you would know the dinim of Nezek because they're explicit in the pasuk. You just wouldn't know that it was bechalal the iser of lo tigzol.
So when it says nezik, is it referring just to Nezek as opposed to just like Nezek, like mazik?
Niskemamon. I think.
Or
so.
Is he referring to nezik like kosher mishpat?
Oh, I think that he's referring to Nezek. That's my understanding. And definitely that's what the Torah is talking about.
So if we were to say that it's referring to Chosha Mishpat, then we could neutralize at least the Masorah part as referring not to the fact that it's Bechalalist, but
right.
He's assuming it's Bechalal.
No, I think he means the part, the Dinam of Mazik, which are Chayyab B'Tashlumim, but where's the Yisr? I think that's what he's saying. And he's answering. Now again, is he only talking about Odom Mazik or also Nizke Mamon? It's hard to say. A little bit. But I think that's my impression. And that's certainly the way the tour is going, the Kashem, right? And certainly Tosa Rush, and so on. So this is, now the question of Tav, leave Tav Shasi, maybe we'll discuss it, when we have a little time, because I want to get through the Rambam before we stop. But yeah, Josh, go ahead.
I was curious how Lo Yaga Atzmo fits with the...
how what fits?
Lo Yaga Atzmo, how that fits with the moral of the Isser.
No, so the Yargal Asham Kach means it's a heinous action. So you might think of it as innocuous, but it's a Maisa Avera. It's a Maisa even denuded from the impact. What we're saying is it's a Tamim, it's a larger Tamim. So it's not sure the Yargal Asham Kach you've come to do it with in a case of the. What we're saying is we take this seriously as a Maisa Geneva because part of what's Osir and Geneva isn't the result only, the impact on the Nigda, it's the effect, the deleterious sinful effect on the it's a good thing for Rosh Hashanah to speak about, right? On the Mazik, on the Goni. So the Yar Galatz Makak. Yeah. Yeah.
So with Rama being Machalik between Nezid and Mazid and not Mazid, because it's the highest.
What do you mean by Nezek Bebezma?
In other words, if you purposely damage someone's name, not to get at them, would the Rambam be afraid of the neighbor? Because there's also a heinous action. It's not just like an accident.
The Rambam doesn't say that anything about the relationship between Nezek and Geneva. That's already known. And the Torah, and maybe the Tosa Rush.
It's what we said to the Rambam, what's so bad about Geneva is the heinous nature of the action.
Right.
But with regards to Nezek, if there's a heinous nature to that action, it's just, you know, purposeful.
Oh! You're I mean, you're assuming that that's the same in Mazik. So let me get to the Rambam in Mazik in just a sec. But let me get to Rambam in Mazik because we're running out of time, and I want to get that in. But let's come back just to fill in a little bit more about the relationship between Geneva and Gezela in Mazik in the Tav Rishasit. I just wanted to make the point if people seen those Reb Chaims or not quickly. No, not yet. So if you get a chance, I want to talk about them quickly. Tavra v'shasya is a case where you do an act, as we discussed, you do an act of nezek in the framework of Geneva and Gezela. So it's just an interesting case where you have the intersection of these two things. What I'm going to, again, I'll tell you my suggestion now, what I'm wondering is, that just happens to be a metzius, right? Or if the legal relationship between them is significant, so then maybe it just plays out differently than you would expect. Now, there's one way to look at any kind of intersection, you know, in law and in halacha as law, is that, let's say you have two different areas, two different, you know, mechayvim, but, you know, a circumstance, the question is, how does this particular circumstance, a hechatimtzi, a rekha of some sort, you know, how does that, you know, play on, you know, play out in terms of some other aspect of the law. But what I'm suggesting is there may be a difference between, you know, legal intersections when you're dealing with an extraneous coincidental kind of engagement, interaction, and when you're dealing with an internal struggle. If both Nezek and Gzela are interconnected, they're not just, you know, coincidentally converging in a particular case, right, then maybe you get unexpected results. So when you have mazik in the context of gzela, right, how does that affect the gzela? And when you have gzela in the context, or gzela, if gzela includes an aspect of mazik, how does that affect it? So I think you get some of these phenomena in some of these cases of Tavar and Shasya and a few other things that I'll speak about very briefly, just to give you a taste of it. It's really a seventh parak topic, but I'll go through that very quickly. Let me talk about the Rambam. Let's get in the Rambam before we adjourn. The Rambam, as we mentioned, doesn't label, you know, the Isser Mazik, right, not in the Koteret, and not in Sefer Mitzvot. In Sefer Mitzvot, the Rambam does have Arbav Zizikim as categories. Again, the Chinuch has them as categories having to do with Bezdin. I don't think that's a pshat in the Rambam. I think in the Rambam, they're categories because the Rambam counts categories. You mean, categories are different b'chayvin. Okay. But no Iser, not in the Koteret, not in Sefer Mitzvot. On the other hand, the Rambam does quote Osur Lahazik in Parakeh of Hilchos Niskei Mamon, and again in Parakeh of Hilchos Chova Lamazik. That's curious, since it doesn't appear in the Kotere, and it's particularly curious that he waited until Parakeh, right, to, in both cases, right, to make this reference. Typically, with some exceptions, but exceptions I think that are part of the same pattern, the Rambam will begin with an Isser. So what is going on in the Rambam? So I think that the answer for the Rambam, I'll give you the brief answer and then we'll expand a little more. I think the answer for the Rambam is as follows. The Rambam too is contending with this question, namely, what is the relationship between Tashlumin and Isser when it comes to Mazik? And on the one hand, it seems like there should be an Isser Lahazik, whether it's a general type, you know, or based on Loish Moreno, whatever it is, you know, our moral intuition, you know, can be wrong, you know, like Einon Shimon Anin. but which is something, especially if it's, you know, based on Rabbeinu Yonah's type of Masora, namely an instinct, you know, that is based on immersion, you know, and attunement to the globality and totality of the system, leads us to think that, you know, it isn't just quid pro quo, but that, you know, you're not allowed to damage somebody's property, you know, and there's something wrong with that. On the other hand, the quid pro quo aspect of Mazik, right, is very compelling, right? And the Torah doesn't, you know, explicitly formulate it the way that it does Gezel and Geneva and Ritzicha and Osashok and so on. So, like, we're in a bit of a quandary. We don't have an impression that, notwithstanding the chorus that we discussed, that every time you're mazik, you're paying the Torah's onesh. It seems like it's, you know, quid pro quo. On the other hand, there seems to be more to it. So I think that what the Rambam did was he assumed, whatever the makar, that there is an Isur Lahazik. But he didn't put it in Perek Aleph to give the impression that the Isur is always necessary for the Mechai. He doesn't think that Tashlumei Nezek typically is an Onesh or a Risha. He thinks it's quid pro quo. However, he did introduce it in cases which highlight the need to expand the concept of Mazik. And that's, I think, what it's doing there in Parakei Halacha Aleph. What is Parakei Halacha Aleph, Asher? I asked you because you sit, you know, behind Svi. What is Parakei Halacha Aleph in Hilchos Niskei Mamon? Yeah, what's that Rambam? That's where he says Osir, right? You have language? It's a Gemara in Bava Kama, Daf Chav Gimel Amud Beis. Correct? Yeah? Okay. Read the Rambam first. Yeah. Behemoth Shoah. Very important language in the Rambam. We'll talk about all this. What does Ravid say? So the Ravid learns the Gemara. What does the Gemara actually say? Right, and that's how does Tosis and Rashi read the Gemara? Like the Ravid. What is the case of the Gemara? How do Rashi, Tosis, and the Ravid mostly learn the Gemara? What happened? You have this this animal is like, you know, is threatening or right? What's the case? The animal is going to get shechted on the right, and it, I mean, its fate is to be, you know, to be you know, somebody's meal at some point in time, correct? But at this point, it's still alive and, you know, bleeding and not bleeding but bleating, and you know, and making its, you know, presence known, and in a particularly annoying way. Correct? I'll share your. You seem like you don't want to weigh in on this animal, right? So so what's going on? So what are you allowed to do? What? You're allowed to shecht it because it's going to get shechted anyway. That's how Rashi and Tosis and Ravid pretty much read the Gemara. Meaning they're very defensive about it. Why are they defensive about it? Why do you need to explain that it's going to get shechted anyway? Yeah, because what we're talking about here is launching a preemptive strike on this annoying but not yet destructive animal. Right, you can take out this animal because you know, you should, you know, wait till the animal does mazik, and once he does mazik, Once the one says Nezek, then you take the guy to court and he has to pay. You can launch a preemptive strike against some, you know, annoying animal because he's annoying. Even if you know he's going to get what he's going to do. Quid pro quo, by definition, means, right, he damages, he pays. So the guy says, listen, when he damages you, well, you'll bring me to court, I'll pay. But the Rambam thinks that this is a bigger idea. And that is, if it's clear that this animal is going to attack you, you can take steps, right, to neutralize him. You can preemptive strike him. You can, you know, send your drones in. If Avigdor were here, he would be very graphic about this, right? So you're allowed to do that. So is it a coincidence that this Rambam, but this is based, it's a little bit of expansion too. This is Rav Haigon's reading of the Gemara. We'll document this a little more when we finish with this on Mirza Hashem on Wednesday, but let me leave you with the idea, right? So you're allowed to do that? You're allowed to, you know, to prevent him from damaging you? You can do, or you can launch a preemptive strike. That's not quid pro quo. Says the Rambam here, finally, again, one more time, Asher? The explanation. I mean, he's not allowed to say, because what's the other guy saying? Why did you preemptive strike my precious animal here? You know, if he damages you, I'll pay. So we need to neutralize that claim. You don't have the right to allow your animal to damage me and then pay. Right? Azriel mentioned to me the other day, this is part a little bit of the story of Mazik Almanas L'Shalim. The guy's saying, it's a little less. The guy's saying, you know, I'm not turning him loose and then I'm going to pay. But if he, you know, if you're concerned about it and you're losing sleep over it, you know, it's not my problem. When it happens, I'll pay. If it happens, I'll pay. So the Ram says, no, that's not acceptable. Go ahead. Yeah, because it's an Iser. So what does the Iser really do here? The Iser expands the quid pro quo. It says, if you don't have a right to damage me, then I don't have to wait around. Mashal L'Madavar Domer, we talked about it before a little bit. I like to use this mashal. And that is the Rambam's view about Poshea Kemazik. Namely, right? The Rambam holds in Perek Beis Hilchot Schiros Halacha Gimel that a Shomer Chinam, who we know is Chayiv for Pshia, we'll talk more about it. Right? He's not Chayiv for Gneiva Aveda, it's Chayiv for Pshia. Says the Rambam, he's Chayiv for Pshia, but it's not a Din Shmira alone, it's because Poshea is Kemazik. And there's an Afkamina. Right? What about Karka and Metalta and Shtaros, right? Anybody have the language of the Rambam? Asher, you have it. Skira Space Gimel. Yeah. What does the Ravid say? Yeah, the Balavimo part. Can't leave out the Balavimo part. The Gemara has a safek in Hashoel, but the Gemara's conclusion is that if you're poshea b'bayil, there's a bit of a baal avimo, that you're potter, and if the baal is with the shomer, then you're potter. Is that true even in poshea? Says the Ravid, it is. It's a Gemara. Ram doesn't deny it. So how could Poshea be Kemazik? That's a chiddush of the Rambam, that Poshea is Kemazik. Right? How can Poshe be Gemazik and there's still a Ptura, Baal Avimo? And then Asibas and other Mefarshim and Choshe Mishpat ask a more basic question. They say, what do you mean Poshe is Gemazik? Poshe is B'Shev Al Tasa. At best, it's a grum, garmi, maybe a grumma, and we paskin that it should be potter from that point of view. Meaning, according to the standards of Hilchos Nezikin, Poshea really is not Kamazik. That's what I was referring to a little bit before. What does the Rambam say in all this? The answer is really simple, but it's very important. That's why we invoke it quite often. And that is, this is a din of Poshea that is Kamazik in Hilchos Chiras. Meaning, the Kabbalah Sachrayos that a Shomer makes, even a Shomer Chinam, creates a certain expectation that makes negligence into Hezek. Typically, if you're negligent about something, it's not a good thing, right? But that's a Shev Al Tasa. It's what you didn't do. But when you accepted responsibility to do it, to do Shmira, and then you were in Poshea, right? That creates kind of a kumvaseh in some respect. That's what I meant before about the blur. The chi of achrayus, right, redefines how we define mazik. Moshe l'ma davar domeh, going back to haiban deboilim heva chasida l'kiyum emilid nizikin, right? So the idea of nizke shchenim, harchokas nizakin, nizke shchenim, or, for example, the idea of hezek re'iya, right? Privacy, hezek re'iya, is a really strange idea. Where's the hezek? You call it hezek? Nezek. Right? What is that? Which is one of the reasons the Mabit may think that many of the dinim are drabanan. Normally, those laws from a Choshe Mishpat Bava Kama point of view, right, fall short of what's considered to be mazik. But these laws are not Bava Kama laws, they're Bava Basra laws. Just like the law of Shomer Chinam being Chayv Poshea, and the Rambam's understanding that Poshea is Kamazik, is a Hilchos Schirus halacha, it's a Bava Metzia halacha. I don't just mean it's different besachtas, different halachas, right? I mean very specifically. If people are neighbors, they have a certain responsibility to each other. There are certain expectations. That heightens, that changes, that alters, according to some Rishonim, what constitutes nezek. Right? So, that's the rule. What I'm suggesting is that the Rambam applies some permutation of that idea in Perek Hei, Hilchos Nizkei. What the Rambam says is, listen, if this were pure choshen, pure dollars and cents, pure quid pro quo, until you mazik me, I'm not entitled to tashlumim. And you have bailus, I don't have the right to, you know, infringe upon your bailus, right, in order to save my bailus. Quid pro quo. So Kumase and Shebal Tasen and you know whoever strikes first, like it's the old preemptive strike, you know, argument, you know, in war and in other things. So the Rambam says, in my opinion, the solution to the justification of preemptive striking, right, requires the factor of Iser. Because you're not allowed to damage me, I don't have to sit around, you know, and wait for the damage and then take you to court. I have a right to see the threat or to respond already to the threat. What's the other place where the Rambam quotes the Iser? And by the way, that's his reference. And then he says, what's the reference to Grama there? Asher? Say again? He says, you don't have a right to do this to me, even if you're going to pay after that. And if I have a right to prevent you from doing it and to protect my own, right? Even Grama, you don't have the right to do to me, correct? How does Ram Paskin and Grama? Chai B'Tashlumin or Potter? What? Grama bin Nazakin, Potter, according to the Ram or Chai? But we'll talk about it next time. Mostly, it seems like Potter. So the Ram seems to be saying, even when Tashlumin per se is not a factor, for example, where Tashlumin should only follow quid pro quo after, or where there's no Tashlumin maybe even, you still don't have a right to damage me. Can you do a preemptive strike against Grama? I'm not sure. But the Rambam is using Grama as something which is asur, seriously, right? Even though there's no Tashlumin, presumably. But we'll document it. Where else does the Rambam say asur? In Hilchos Chovel. What's the case in Hilchos Chovel? Liam? What's the case in Hilchos Chovel? Tarkei, where the Rambam also says asur? Yeah? No, not that one. The we'll get to that in a second. Although my time is really running out. The Ein Shlichut V'Aveira one, right? That's a Perikei Hilchos Chovel, right? Nathan, you have it? We'll get to the Kraksusi. It's also very important. Right? The Mishaleach says to the Shliach, you know, go do this on my behalf. Whoa. So the Rambam says that the Mishaleach, even though he's chayv b'tash, even though he's potter b'tashlumin, because ain't shliach d'var aveira, right? He's bechlal ha'avon, is a shutaf in the avon, correct? Now there are two ways to understand what the Rambam is saying. One way is that this is lifnei iver lo sitein betsho. Okay, maybe. That's not typically the language that the Rambam uses for lifnei iver lo sitein betsho in other places. Sounds much stronger. It sounds like what the Rambam is saying is, even though there's no tashlumin, like in Grama, right? There's an iser. The chiddush here is that the mishaleach, who's potter mitashlumim, is bechlal the iser. Kol shekein, the shliach is bechlal the iser. Correct. Now let's talk, Liam, about. Almanas, what's the story there?
If someone says a shliach to go break someone's arm, almanas the cutter.
Yeah. Now that's what we just read. That's okay. I'm saying the other. If you want to talk about cross ksusi, let's say a guy says you can cross ksusi, right?
That's not.
And or the difference between that mishnah and a chovel. Cross ksusi and alminasli potter. What's the story there?
That's fine.
The guy says cross ksusi, but doesn't say alminasli potter. What happens?
Then
you chayv tashlumin.
But if you say alminasli potter, it's potter. But if you say break my arm, alminasli potter, that's still.
That's Kabbalah. That doesn't work. Because in the mochalal rashe evar. Correct? Okay. So what's interesting is in the case of cross ksusi, you might have the opposite. The guy tells you, go ahead. But he didn't say Almanasli Potter. That might be a case where you have no Iser, but you have a Chiyuv Tashlumin. Okay. Do you do tshuva for Mazik? Josh? You do tshuva for Mazik. How do you know that? Where?
We get married again.
Aleph Aleph, what does it say?
Example, it says,
over the Tiasan, Achas, the Chum of his Papi. The Kena Chobam de Chavero, the Amazic Mamono, Apafi, Shashim, Lamasha Haifa. In a Miscaver, Achis, not the Yashim Lazar, Kazelio.
So the Rambam says that there is that clear in the Gemara? Not so clear. That there's a chi of tshuva for mazik, even mazik al manasa shali. Correct? That works very nicely, because the Rambam says that it's asur. And he says even the mishaleach is asur. Right, and even grama is asur. Kolshkein, somebody who's al manasa shali, is asur. After tshuva. On the other hand, would this be true for all Rishonim? I don't think so, necessarily. You might also be mechalik between different types of mazik. Again, Adama mazik, Nizke mamon, right? Possibly. That's another nafkamina. What about, is it like Geneva and Gezela and Chavala, Josh? Ah. You're reading the one you just read, Perek Aleph Halach Aleph, right? What about Perek Beis? Do you have the language? What's the language? The Mar Makomos I gave you.
Says,
where is it? Perek Beis?
Yes. So he says...
Which halacha?
Hey.
Yeah.
So, tshuva, amunakum, anamiskavim, alayir, shibayandu, lakom.
Say again?
The tshuva is anamiskavim, for alayir, shibayandu, lakom.
Correct.
Achi. Of alayir, shibayandu, lakavero, yonachoba, lakavero, or hamakala, lakavero,
oh, you have two pius.
Right.
So he has, what does he have?
He has Chol B'chaveiro.
Right. Mekalalo.
And Gozlo.
Mekalalo and Gozlo. And he omits Mazik despite Parakala. Correct? And what, he says Kiyotzebo. What does Kiyotzebo mean? What does the Lechem Mishnah say? No, the Lechem Mishnah is in Kovel?
Definitely in Kovel.
Oh. Yeah, the one, where's one, what does the one in Kovel say? So the Lechem Mishnah thinks, again, what does he emphasize? Okay, so again, you can look at those as pratim. You know, he's nene, the other guy's more mitzta'er. What that might translate into is, even if there is a ma'is avera and an iser, and it has nafkamina, in cases of ptur, some of them that we just talked about, like the Mishaleach, maybe Grumma, right? Even better, the preemptive attack. However, when it comes to the bigger question, namely, so are we now saying, like Rabbeinu Yonah, Keshem Shasar Lahazik Kach, Keshem Shasar Ligzo Kach Osar Lahazik? Are we saying that it's Midin Gazel? Are we saying that it's the equivalent of Gazel? Not necessarily. Let's not forget, the Torah isn't Mefurash. Right? Meaning, relative to, there are elements of Geneva and Gezela that you don't have in Mazik. There's no Tzura in the same way. Right? It is more Momon, quid pro quo oriented. But there's also this other motif. But when it comes to figuring out the role of Pius and so on, that's a different kind of Mechayiv regarding tshuva. Okay, we're going to stop here. Let me just say one thing. There are other nafkaminas that we'll talk about. I want to talk a little further about the Rambam, just to reinforce some of the things. And then a couple of other nafkaminas that I want to talk about. Safek Iser and Safek Mamon. We still talk about Katan. I want to talk about Benoach in some of these cases. And just to fill in again a few of the things that we did, just regarding Rosh Hashanah, I mean, obviously we finished on the tshuva aspect, but I think that the Chiddush of the Rambam is really like a very linchpin idea. The one in this case, Mamon, and even more so the one that I'm basing it on, which is Nilchus. And that is the idea that there is a correlation between expectation and a person's broader like background and commitment and assessing the actions that he does. And again, I don't have time to go into this because I'm already quite late, but the idea that Rosh Hashanah is considered to be Yom HaZikaron, and the role of Zikaron is just occupies such a central role. Like it's, you know, there are two psukim in the Torah, one in Parshas Emor, one in Parshas Pinchas. Pinchas, we're told about Shofar that it's Yom Tru'a Yelachem. That also is a very mechudash pasuk, but at least we're talking about the shofar. But the pasuk in Emor, which speaks about Zichron Tru'a, emphasizing the word Zichron, which Rashi understands refers to psuke Zichronos, and the language of the Gemara and some of the Dinim emphasize the Zikaron part in a very outsized way. Rabba said, you know, that the Malchus, Zichronos, and Shofars are all integrated, but they're not the same in their function. Hamlichuni Aleichem, right? Kadesha Tavo Lifanecha Zichronosenu Ubame B'Shofar. Right? Malchus is the way that we address the Ribbono Shel Olam. Shofar is the mechanism, the vehicle that we use. And the goal is Kadesh Tavo Zichronosechem, right? Lifanecha. And the Gemara wants to say that the principle of Ein Kategar Nasa Senegar, you know, applies to Shofar, the Gemara in Chavav Mer Aleph in Rosh Hashanah. It speaks about the fact that, you know, this is considered to be, shofar is considered to be something which is nichnas lifnai v'lifnim. You know, and therefore it's subject to the din, like Big Day Kohen Gadol, Big Day Zav, can't be nichnas lifnai v'lifnim. So the Gemara says, what's the big deal? What does that have to do with shofar? The Gemara says, well, the shofar brings zichronenu lifnei Hashem. And therefore, it too is ki lifnai v'lifnim dami. A very remarkable comment. In Tefillah, we speak about, again, Yom HaZikaron and Yom Teruah. And in Mekadesh Yisrael, it's Yom HaZikaron, actually, even though Shofar is the main symbol. And there are other indications of this as well. Bali Tosas, in explaining the difference between Lulav and Shofar, why is it that, you know, when it comes to Lulav, after the Churban, right, so they said there's no Lulav on Shabbos. And when it comes to Shofar, there remains Lulav on Shabbos, v'makom bezdin. We don't have that kind of bezdin anymore. So Tos says, why the difference? And they give several answers. One of the answers they give is that since Shofar brings Zichronenu lifnei Hashem, so it's just indispensable. Like, we need it. We have to have an outlet for it. So what is this Zichronenu? Kedah's often invoked as the Zichronos. But I think the answer is very similar to what we were discussing. Whenever we have Zikaron or Zichronenu, it's about the background and the past, you know, being part of the present and the future. Rosh Hashanah is a time where we can't just start anew. Much as there is a theme of starting anew, some of the Rishonim point out that in Pinchas, the Torah, when it talks about the Karbanos of Rosh Hashanah, says V'yasisa. It's the only time that it says V'yasisa. And the Chizkuni and the Bali Tosfos all the Torah say, because you're reborn on, you know, it's a see, you remake yourself on Rosh Hashanah. There's a lot of evidence of that. But you can't remake yourself unless you reconcile your past. And that's why Zichronos are so important. The identification with the past history of Klal Yisrael and the Mesorah, your personal past, all of that is something you can never leave behind. You can reconcile it. You can elevate it, right? But it's critical to who you are. It's the background which provides context, and in some cases, that context redefines what your challenges are and what your attitudes are. If Klal Yisrael have schuyos, or Klal Yisrael have certain potential, right, Kedas Yitzchak, then that defines, you know, Klal Yisrael and you as an individual's capacity for greatness in the spiritual realm, as well as your ability to do tshuva. You can't ignore the past. The purpose of the shofar is to bring zichronoseinu, Klal Yisrael's, the past's, and your personal ones, lifnei Hashem, so that you get a proper din, but even more so, so you can do a proper introspection and tshuva, one which is based on context and perspective. So the potential that you have, and the history, you know, that is part of you, and what it demonstrates, that redefines your past actions, and it dictates your present and your future. And that's really what zichronos really are. And that's what Yom HaZikaron is, and that's really, I think, what Zichron Trua is. That really is Lefnai V'Lefnin. That is what brings every member of Klal Yisrael, right, the potential, you know, to become something that is worthy of the miracle or the gift of tshuva. Just as, you know, a Kabbalah Shmira, you know, changes a Sheval Tasa into an act of Hezek, you know, an act of omission into an act of commission. Just as context creates Niske Shechenim, just as Iser transforms the way that we look at Mazik, so too our link to this magnificent history, and as I say, our own history, right, becomes something that redefines our ability to stand lifnei Hashem and to benefit, you know, from all the different motifs of Tekiyah Shofar. So I just want to wish everybody a ksiv v'chsim atov, ashras chayim shalom. Should be a very meaningful Yom Trua and Yom HaZikaron as well. Thank you.